Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here we go.
Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love.
This is another Dolphins podcast.
Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh Houts.
Thanks for tuning into another edition of another Dolphins podcast. Shortly, I will be joined by Aaron Schatz. You probably recognize his name from his work building DVOA and Football Outsiders. But before we get to that, I just wanted to share a quick rundown of our recording schedule. Despite it being the bye week, we're still pushing out the content about your Miami Dolphins. Earlier Thursday, you heard Josh and Merrick for the midweek update. Josh and I will be back on Friday to get you set for the weekend. Before we call it a week, Kat will join me for some final thoughts recapping Miami's success throughout the first half of the year. But that is it. That is all for me. I hope you're enjoying the show. Now let's kick it over to Aaron, who has some interesting thoughts about your 2023 Miami Dolphins. Joining us now on the show is Aaron Schatz, the Chief Analytics Officer at FTN Network, and you can find his work at ftnfantasy.com. They also host a pretty fun podcast too, so go ahead and check them out. Aaron, aka the DVOA guy, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. How are you and your spreadsheets doing?
Doing well. I'm doing well. The season's going well. The spreadsheets are doing well. I'm good.
Hey, I love to hear it. So, being a Miami Dolphins podcast, there's one big flaw that's quickly rising up and everyone's starting to wonder, that are the Miami Dolphins starting to fall apart? So before we get into the nitty gritty, you know, the last time I saw the Dolphins win a playoff game, I was 6 years old. So I just want to start by asking you, do you feel that for the Miami Dolphins, we're finally reaching the better times? Have they finally turned the corner before we start talking maybe a legit contender?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I mean, Mike McDaniel has proven to be one of the best head coaches in the league, and Tua Tagovailoa is good at running this offense, and there's a lot of talent here. And I do understand the idea that the defense is likely to get better, and they certainly were better against Kansas City. So, I think the good times are in the future for Miami. It also helps that New England is not dominating the division anymore.
Changes everything. You were tweeting about this earlier on, and you can find Aaron on Twitter on X at ASCHATZNFL. Aaron, you mentioned that the Dolphins last year, they kind of dipped a little bit. Even when Tua got healthy again, they started to dip near the end of the season. And you mentioned we're kind of starting to see that again. Do you see that this parallel is going to line up that way once we get through 17 games?
I don't know, because the dip is happening earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Last year, people felt like it was particularly ticked off by the Chargers playing them and the using the Fangio style defense with the safeties back. This year, it's not like that. I mean, the first game against New England played with three deep safeties, and it's not mm-hmm. like they prevent, you know, they kept Miami somewhat down compared to like Denver, but.
Right.
Miami was still playing, you know, really well on offense. The thing last year is we were all like, ooh, that's interesting. Now in the chess match, McDaniel has to counter this. And then just when we thought McDaniel would figure out a counter, Tua had concussions. Mm-hmm. So that never happened. So now it's like this year, it's like, oh, okay, well, let's see. You know, it doesn't seem like teams are particularly doing something different all of a sudden against them. So I don't know whether this is something that McDaniel has to figure out a fix for, or just the random variation of a couple of games.
No, I completely agree with you. And you do wonder where those answers are. I always find it silly when people come out and say,
yeah, you stopped Tyreek Hill by pressure contacting him at the line of scrimmage. Well, if it was that simple, you know, everyone would be doing it every week and the offense wouldn't be, you know, blowing up for 30 points a game a lot of the time. I was reading your preview before the Chiefs game, and you were liking the Dolphins specifically because of their rushing attack. Over the last few weeks, we're really starting to see this unit, especially without Devon Achane back there, struggle in terms of consistency. Do you feel that that unit is strong enough as they're currently built to help this offense sustain itself? Because it really does rely on the rushing attack to really set the tone.
Yeah, Mostert is still really good. And, you know, they've got Teron Armstead back now. And a lot of it is misdirection and the wide run. The wide runs seem to be better than the inside runs. You know, certainly the games that I've watched, that's anecdotal, I think. But, I don't think the running game is really Miami's problem. It's a very good running game.
When you just kind of reflect from this year to last year, what kind of progress do you see from Miami? You think about how they struggled last year. Was there any offseason moves you thought that you think they did really well of trying to counter? I thought Braxton Berrios was one example of that third safety valve who has those sure hands. But do any stick out to you?
Yeah, you know, one of the things about the last couple games when the offense hasn't been as successful is it doesn't feel like they're finding those third safety valves as much as they did earlier on, right? They're not finding Berrios. They're not finding Sherfield? No. River Craycraft. Yeah, River Craycraft. They're not finding those guys like they were earlier in the season. I mean, listen, most of the offseason was about the defense, right?
Absolutely.
So those moves haven't worked yet because we've only seen, two games of Jalen Ramsey, and it's, you know, the defense has been a little bit better, but it's not a lot. We haven't seen the big defensive improvement that we were promised. And I said before the season, Vic Fangio does not have a history of suddenly turning defenses into number one units. It usually takes him some time. And I thought it would take him some time here too. And that, you know, in fact, it's been even worse than I expected. The defense ranks 24th in our numbers so far, but I do think that there's reason to believe it will get better.
That's very fair. When you do look at the defense, though, you know, just building up into the season, we're looking at two specific units, the secondary, especially with Ramsey and Howard. But then that front four, we see Bradley Chubb really starting to turn into a playmaker. Jalen Phillips seems like someone who's going to burst at any moment. If the Dolphins want to push and really be a contender come December and January, which one of those units really needs to be the guiding force for that defense, do you feel?
I mean, both. You know, I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know why their defense is struggling this year because there is so much talent on it. We thought it was going to be really good. And you kind of like tick through the players and you're like, oh, Christian Wilkins and Chubb and Phillips and even Van Ginkel is good. And then the secondary has Holland and you're like, where are the weaknesses? And yet the overall package hasn't worked this year. So I don't think I can say in particular, oh, the pass rush is more important or the secondary is more important. You know, I do know that in general, like I'm an analytics guy and we feel very strongly pass defense is more important than run defense. So, you know, people talk about, oh, you need to have run defense in January. That's nonsense. Pass defense is always more important.
I completely agree with you there. I want to talk about special teams just for a second. I know it's not the most exciting unit here, but I was reading that the Dolphins are in the bottom third and even maybe a little lower than that in terms of special teams. At one point, do you start to get concerned when you see a team floating so low in DVOA in terms of special teams that you wonder that this could derail what they're trying to do?
Well, they're not that low this year. Okay, so first of all, the last few years, because of the changes in the kickoff rule, special teams just don't mean as much as they used to. But also this year in particular, the teams are all really closely packed around average. So like the only special teams unit that I would really be super worried about is like the Rams and maybe the Giants. And that's, you know, maybe the Vikings, but, you know, Miami's 25th, but it's not like they're that below average. I mean, I'll tell you what hasn't worked this year is kickoffs where they are near the bottom of the league in kickoffs. And I'm going to guess that that's kickoff coverage because there's not a lot of difference in kickoff distance anymore. The best thing you can do is honestly just put it through the darn end zone every time and just let the other team. It's interesting because the best thing you can do as the receiving team is usually to just take that, is to just take the 25 because it's a high variance thing, right? Like, you don't want them to get that return that they're going to get like every once in a long while. But if you're the receiving team, you don't want the average, because the average of returns is low, is behind the 25, right? You might as well just start at the 25. So field goals and kickoffs are overall where the problems have been this year. And I feel like Sanders, you know, his career numbers suggest that there isn't really a problem with field goals. So it's really just kickoffs and kickoff coverage.
The Miami Dolphins got a pretty easygoing bye week, I think, right near the middle of the season. As you get to that 9-10 game stance, how do you feel your preseason projections about the Miami Dolphins have really developed here? Has there been any real big surprises about this offense or even the team in general that you didn't
see
coming?
Oh, yeah. I think I've been proven very right and very wrong at the same time, right? I was out there saying, we expect the Dolphins offense to take a step back. Having this much yards per completion is not really sustainable over multiple years. It's, you know, it was like 12 yards per completion or something. It was like
crazy.
One guy who managed to repeat that in the last like 15, 20 years. You know, that's not going to happen, I said. But I said, the defense, people who are talking about this like they're going to be a top five defense are wrong, because it just takes time for Fangio to turn his defenses around. That latter proved right. The comment about the offense proved very wrong. They didn't regress at all. I mean, even with the fact that they haven't been as good the last couple of weeks, they're still third in the NFL, which is a lot better than I projected them.
When you get to that 8-9 game stretch of the season, I think people start talking about playoffs and Super Bowl, and the critiquing becomes a little tighter and tighter. I try really hard to be a self-aware Dolphins fan about my bias, but when you think of Miami's three losses against the Chiefs, Bills, and Eagles, playing in those three games, playing in tough scenarios on the road, I should say, is it safe to say that maybe the F word, calling them frauds, is maybe overblown a little bit when you think about the conditions they're playing in? Or is it as simple as, hey, until they prove anything against a good team and ignore all the excuses, then it is what it is?
No, I'm not a fraud guy. Like, I, you know, my research has shown that the best indicator of championship teams is their ability to blow out their weaker opponents.
Interesting.
Right? That's more important than those close wins against good teams. I mean, the most important thing is big wins over good teams, right? Mm-hmm. That's why my numbers love Baltimore so much, because right. Baltimore has huge wins over good teams. But if you're asking me which is better, big wins over bad teams or close wins over good teams, usually it's the big wins over the bad teams. I mean, losing to the Bills, that's a tough tiebreaker, and losing to the Chiefs is a tough tiebreaker. It's why we don't have the Dolphins getting the number one seed very often, but we do have them in our simulations winning the division about 64% of the time and making the playoffs 84.5% of the time. So they're pretty much in and likely will win the division and host a playoff game.
That is absolute music to my ears. Aaron Schott, the Chief Analytics Officer at FTN Network. I have one more question here before I let you take off. As we go into the second half of the season, what do you need to see from the Miami Dolphins in order to be confident about this group going into January? Are there a couple plays you need to be circled that you need to see stepped up or anything like that?
I mean, I think you want to see them put on one of those dominant offensive performances on a top defense. That's the first. And the second is you want the defense to improve. Let's see, with more time in the Fangio scheme and Ramsey back, does the defense improve? Because if this is the number one offense, which they might be by the end of the season again, and they have an average defense, that is a serious Super Bowl contender. But if they're the number three offense and they have a below average defense, then they're not.
Interesting, interesting. Aaron Schatz, thank you so much for joining us here. You can find his work, as I said, at FTN Network, at FTNFantasy.com. Thank you so much for joining us. And hey, best of luck for us this year.
Thank you very much.